You know.
I was nervous last week
too. Don't say that because I'm supposed to be nervous.
I know.
You're listening to Almost Famous.
We know each other
with Jim Francis Meza only on LA Talk Radio.
And we're off to the races. I am completely just beside myself in a positive way. I'm happy. I'm like totally blasted too out of my mind because we chewed that gum. And whatever was in that gum, I think it was some like some cocaine in there or something.
Ooh, I start to feel
like. I was like, dude, I am like higher than a kite. But seriously, today, guys, I'm honored to sit across another wonderful, wonderful person. And she's a great, she's a mom. That's her biggest superpower, to be a mom. Mm-hmm. So, you know, shout out to all the moms out there, my wife included, who have to put up with the kids and us, right? The husbands.
Oh, yeah.
She's an artist above all. She's world known, renowned, and her body of work is across like many continents. I mean, in Chile, even Spain. You know, guys, give it up for my guest tonight, Tatiana Kalivoshko, guys.
Yay.
She's an Ukrainian artist. She's a sculptor. She does photography as well at times. And she's going to tell us all about her journey. I want to know, speaking of children, how is it that you guys took your son to get this guy's Burning Man? Yikes, that's like me taking my son to Coachella. Wait, I could. He's 20 years old.
Yeah. That's, I don't know what is easier because he always was by our side, you know. We spent years old, like, bye-bye, father.
Isn't it? Yeah. I'm like, where did you run off with the models? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, hi. It's so, thank you so much for graciously making it and you know, making it out to
thank
my show.
Thank you.
Almost Famous. Shout out to Mila, you know, Mila,
yes,
she connected us, and her song is dropping, right, on October 2nd, I think, October 2nd or something,
yes,
she's going to have a song dropping.
Yes, I already know this song.
You already know, I knew you knew, you're privy to all the information before anybody else does, that's not fair.
Right.
So, let's back up, you're born in Ukraine.
Yeah, I was born in Ukraine on the west side, in a little town, mm-hmm. and how I decided to be an artist. After I finished the high school, I was like, okay, what am I going to do now? And I don't want to be a lawyer. I don't want to be like the doctor, you know, it's like so hard work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm going to be an artist or designer. But I never paint. Like, mm-hmm. I don't paint my life. Like, my father really helped me to do the drawings to the school.
Really? You never sketched on, you never wrote on the wall?
No.
You never tagged up the wall?
No, actually, it might be like, when I was 6 years old. But I never did it seriously. And then my mom told me, like, Tatiana, but you know, if you want to study in a university of art, you need to have a really good level. They will not take you. So what I did, I mm-hmm. found one teacher in Lviv. It was five hours on a train.
Okay.
My town, and I did every weekend.
Yeah,
5 hours for 3 days for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I even skipped the school on Fridays.
She's a ditcher. We got a ditcher.
Okay. And I did for 1 year this school, and I passed these exams, and I got a scholarship.
Wow,
so,
good for you.
Yeah. And since then, I was like, I can do everything in this life, you know, like a yeah. Just give me the. The thing what I cannot do.
What can't you not do? You're like a successful artist. Okay, so where do you draw inspiration to do your artwork? Like, say, when you were younger, how did you know, okay, I'm really, this is my trajectory. This is what I'm good, the pathway I'm going to follow because I'm good at it. When did you know you were good at it?
For first, I studied art and together with interior design,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that I can change a life through the art. But I thought first I'm gonna start with design because design in Ukraine was by the time was mm-hmm. horrible. And then I moved to China, and I decided, like, okay, let's start from that country. And I did a good project as interior designer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm done here. Let's do art. And I did discover, like, different cultures. And each of my projects, it's about something important for me, for first, right. You know, it's like where I am, what is touching me, what is inside of me, I'm doing.
You channel that through
the
art.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And first was the Chinese culture, and I tried to do the calligraphics, you know, Chinese calligraphics, yeah, and Chinese it was beautiful. It was an amazing experience. So, and then each project was just, you know, like a part of my life.
Sure.
Until now.
Yeah. So, depending on if I get this straight, depending on where you're at, also emotionally,
yeah,
a lot of this is the kind of a catharsis that comes through the art, and it gets channeled through the artwork. Mm-hmm. But where you're at in your life, the zeitgeist also of the time period, right? Like say also where the zeitgeist of let's say China has a certain like a revolution of sorts,
mm-hmm.
then that kind of propels you to then do a certain type of artwork, correct? Hypothetically speaking.
I got it. So I really was so interested about that. And what we did, like a project, we did a movie about Ukraine to show the Chinese people how it's another cultures in another country to show them, because, you know, they don't have a YouTube, they don't have a Facebook. Mm. And my friend, he's a big artist in China. Mm-hmm. So he did this movie for like to show for free in China that what is going on in another countries, how the culture is there, you know. So we did like a big thing, you know, for Chinese people to show them.
Yeah, that's impressive. I am impressed. I mean, let me tell you how I tend to like self portraits.
Yeah.
And I like the portraits where behind the eyes, there's an undertone of mystery.
Mm-hmm.
There's something beyond what you look at. And what is the person thinking? Somehow I feel like the person on the other side is thinking. This is after I chew the gum I'm chewing on. But when I go, we go.
I like the gum.
But, you know, a person like a self-portrait of a certain individual is looking off, especially the ones that are looking off.
Mm-hmm.
You're wondering, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I tend to like that. Now, let's talk a little bit about how you talk about, what's this whole thing about converting weapons into flowers? This is a great story you're going to share, right?
Yeah. So I started this project 2017 after the war started in Ukraine 2014,
right.
You know? And I already was in America, and I started this project, and it just came to my mind, the idea, because it's from this story from my childhood when my grandma took me to the forest to pick up the berries, and she told me, like, oh, Tatiana, look, there was in the Second World War, was tanks, here's the weapons, there's soldiers, some dead soldiers, you know, stuff. And for me, as a little kid, I couldn't even imagine it, because only what I see, it's a beautiful forest. It's a beauty of the nature. So what I mean that the time is healing the scars of war.
Mm-hmm.
And as for my mother, grandmother was a pain to be in that places. For me, as a child, I just see the beauty. You know, so that's
because the purity also, as a child.
Yeah, it's giving like hope, you know.
Right.
It's giving like the next generation going to see only the flowers and beauty of this world, I hope.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty deep. And sure, and like, you know, I'm trying to envision vicariously, of course, you're living through a child's life. You know, it's all pure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at the end of the day, that's what's beautiful about being a child. It's innocence.
Oh, yes.
It's, you know, you've never had bad experiences. You haven't experienced the world, for that matter.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
So, wow. And so, you know, therein lies the whole deal. You know,
I learned a lot now from my son.
Yeah, I was two years old.
Yeah, I see through his eyes, like, how he can enjoying this world and how he
smells the flowers.
Yeah, smell the flowers and taking this the pen and try to draw. I was like, I wanted to have this confidence to draw, right. You know. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's beautiful. Yeah, the confidence level in most of the students. So we're going to get to also, because I know you're an educator as well, right? You were an educator for a short stint in China. Didn't you teach art?
So I can teach. No, it's in university in Ukraine. Was right. Like I studied art and design. But in China, I just studied Chinese language.
Okay.
And that was enough.
Were you educating the children?
Yes, I did.
You were?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I did
for traffic school.
Maybe. I don't know how you know this information. Maybe. It was like for kids 6, 8 years old. And then for adults, maybe 60, 70 years old. Like
How does that, let's just start at the beginning. How does that, what does that look like? You start with sketches or, you know.
Oh, they're all my
fundamentals.
Art.
Yeah, for when you teach the kids.
When I teach the kids.
Yeah, we'll get to when you do it yourself professionally, but.
You know, I don't even remember, but it's not just naturally. It's like if I have a subject to teach them what to do. But usually I didn't have I decided what I want to do. And I want to give them freedom to enjoy the process. I didn't want to put the boundaries in the process. So I just told them like, okay, where is the nose? And it's like, oh, here's the nose. Like, no, the nose can be there, you know, you need to think like
that's outside the box kind of thing.
It
doesn't necessarily have to be where it is, it is.
Go ahead. Yeah, and then you just discover like what do you feel like where to put
discover.
This
you got the right word. Discovery. You discover as you go.
Exactly.
It's beautiful. And what were some of these sketches like? Were they grotesque? Were they abstract? Were they like weird?
I saw some sketches was like really interesting. You know, some kids painting better than some artists are adults, you know. So like for sure. And I was like, oh my god, it's gonna be like a really good piece, like when you paint like a big one, you know. Sell for millions.
That's beautiful.
And
it's got to bring like a sense of, you know, like pride to you for being able to bring out the best in these students, right?
Yeah. I didn't do it for long, you know, but I really enjoyed it. It was a good experience for me. And I hope in the future I want to study here in America.
Yeah, sure.
And in the future I want to teach in a school or university, you know.
Yeah. You could be a great facilitator, in my opinion. I also think, like, you know, as a child I drew my a picture of my nanny.
Oh.
And it was like really weird, and it's got a big old mouth, and then it wound up looking a lot like her.
Exactly, because you know? It's from your perspective how you see her.
So they say art is in the eyes of the beholder, right? This person looks at something and they're looking at it a certain way. How important is it for you as an artist, which you have a certain criteria for how you're going to draw or paint a picture? In this case, you paint something and you kind of, this is what I meant, the depiction of it. Somebody else comes out with something completely different. Does that ever bother you at all?
Of course not. Right. Everybody has their own opinion.
I
about
like the freedom.
Everything. Yes. Mm-hmm. And even like before I did put titles of every painting, but I don't do it anymore because I don't want to push people to think wherever I want to say from painting.
Right.
They need to feel something. What is important is the art. It's to have a different kind of feelings. It can be bad. It can be good. Mm-hmm. And both good.
Both
are right. Exactly.
So
yeah. Thank you. And that's what I wanted to see from the viewer, from the audience of my art. And now I'm gonna do performances, and so soon, like in next month.
You can't talk about it just yet, but I will keep everybody in the loop. I promise. As soon as we find out what Tatiana's up to, you will find out as well, I promise. Yeah, that's fantastic. Growing up, what were some of your inspirations as far as artists go? Who were some of the people you looked up to?
Let me think. Like, I have my favorite artist, I really like. But inspiration, it's me. I think it's just wherever it's going on in your life, in your rubric. Yeah, in my life. And I have a really couple good artists what I follow in a lot. Mm-hmm. Artists. And I have my favorite artists from before. And so one of my favorites, Maria Abramovich. You know her?
Sounds familiar, the name, yeah.
She does performances, and it's like really crazy, beautiful performances. Like, for example, there was one, I don't remember exactly where it was, in MoMA, or I don't remember. And there was she was standing naked, and man not next to her, in front of her, in a door.
A doorway.
Uh-huh. And the people was walking through them. There was both naked. And you know, it's just, yeah.
It's deep.
Yeah, but you cannot see that anymore in the museums this.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we talk about restrictions.
Yeah.
You know, you get restrictions now for everything is restricted.
Yeah.
So even as actors, right? Like myself personally, you're an actor, you are told you have to sort of shed everything you've learned, you have to unlearn. You have to be able to go wherever you want to go in your mind. And not say, oh, I'm not allowed to do that. Oh, yeah. That feels weird. That feels odd. Because all that is stuff that's just layers and layers that have been taught to you growing up. You're not allowed to do this, remember. And shame and everything else that comes with it. But in stripping away these things as an actor, you're able to go farther. Mm-hmm. You're able to push the boundaries. You're able to take it there.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what art is like, same. If I'm not, mistaken. But there are places where you get censorship. Mm-hmm. They're censoring certain places because there's laws in place and whatnot. And maybe, there's a point where they say, well, I don't know. We got to draw the line. That might not be art. It's porn now.
Yeah. So how I can see it, for example, the movies, there is also different
genres,
websites. It's like a different audience for different movies.
Right.
And on a Netflix, of course, you cannot act wherever you want.
Yeah.
Totally different.
It's totally true.
What was before, now it's completely different. But there is many movies, so artistically, so good, with a nude, with whatever, so good movies, but just little, right? So the same is the art. Museums, now you cannot see this kind of performances.
Mostly galleries are the places,
most
right?
of the galleries and the small places. So that's why I creating with a couple of artists, we're creating the art collective.
Love it, the art collective.
Yeah, to create this kind of experience for the audience.
One of a kind, unique, right?
Yeah, exactly. To feel something so important, what is going on in this life, and think about it. And there are so many problems, There is a climate change, but whatever, there is so many problems.
Yeah.
And we want to show different kind of performances. What is happening? It's from the 60s.
Okay.
It's kind of...
Oh, what's happening? Yeah, it's a show. It's a sitcom.
No. It's a happenings. It's like a kind of performance, but more free playing. Not by the script. It's
So it's
a couple of people doing...
improvisation.
Exactly.
A lot of improv.
Mm-hmm. 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 So that's what we are starting to do from next month. And
this is so cool. That's art.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we need more places do you know Red Cat or 2220 Art? Mm-hmm. And this kind of places we need more because people want to, they're sitting at home.
They're hungry for that.
Yes, exactly. Because
everything is scripted.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And this is unscripted. This is sort of like theater.
Yeah.
You know, theater, every time you go up there and you do it differently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The production's completely different
because
it's live and it's in real time.
Yeah.
So the same is true with this. It's completely a different experience each time.
And people, they already forgot how to do this.
Yeah.
I've been last time, this Saturday, on one performance. And after the performance, not even finished, but the girls sit and they say, so what do you think? And they ask the audience, so what do you think? nobody even say any word. Like they were sitting for like a minute.
Right, right.
But thank God they had one person who who had a script what right. to say, you know?
Exactly.
But nobody even say anything. Nobody is like, oh, you know what? I think this was amazing. Nobody. And right. everybody was just sitting. I was like, nobody wants to, like they're afraid. After COVID, how many years of this restriction?
Yeah. Restrictions all the way around. Mm-hmm. And so it restricts the human being and the human mind to just unravel and let it just, you know, unspool almost.
Yeah.
And do and say and just go all out. You know what I mean? And be able to say whatever the fuck you want. Ooh, did I say a bad word?
Oh, no. What is it? Fuck. Oh, no.
Oh, shoot. You're in trouble. But, you know, that kind of thing. So there's definitely restrictions put in place in many places, but this is so refreshing because you're able to do something that is very, I think it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys get together. It's unconventional. People come out and go, wow, it's like almost an immersive experience.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. And there was like many of these happenings and performances like 10 years, like we said, talking about before about like 10 years ago, 15 years ago was amazing. I was just reading a book about that.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, I was like, why I was not here in America 15 years ago, but by the time I was 15 years old.
You're like 10 years old. I was 5.
But yeah.
Let me ask you something. Let's talk about, speaking of, you know, things of old, like, you know, we were all locked away and the keys were thrown away for a while, you know, during the pandemic. What do you think about the NFTs? Mm-hmm. Remember the NFTs?
Yeah, yeah,
What happened to the NFTs? I had an NFT, you know, from my old podcast with my bro James Walsh. We had the Jim and James Morning Podcast, and we had an NFT for that.
So how is
let me tell you. Yeah. I don't know what happened to the NFTs because people were throwing lots of money into the NFTs. Uh-huh. And then at some point, the trend died down completely. It got shot. I don't know what happened. You had NFTs also, didn't you?
Yeah.
What was your experience like?
So I had a big show in downtown. I showed my feminine collection.
Okay.
And I did some NFTs from that collection, and it was beautiful. Like I really, but I didn't like. Okay, it's like I need to do this. Of course, everybody's doing NFT. I need to do it, and everybody's talking. Oh, so much money, so much money. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do. So I did it. Nothing happened. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't sell it. I just, you know, the show was over, and after the show, I was like following it for maybe a month or so, and then I was like, I'm done. I'm not that kind of artist.
The digital thing, huh?
Yeah, I like more feelings and emotions, and you know, like and pain
more,
and
you like something that's more palpable, more real, and and that was very surreal.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, speaking of which, I had a friend that bought a bunch of real estate in the metaverse. You hear about that? People had paintings inside the metaverse.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit! Like, how? He goes, they're each worth a lot of money. And I'm like, dude, if you don't pay your electricity, you're going to have your, there goes your whole museum, your whole gallery's done.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know. Maybe there are still going on. Maybe there are still people who live in this that universe.
VR now is
also different. I'm not blaming them. Of course, there is a space,
a market for everything.
Market for everything. It just, I'm more like another side.
Out of mind, out of sight. Right?
You know, they are opening the first AI museum in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Oh, in a world.
Where?
It's going to be in Los Angeles.
Here, of course.
Yeah.
It's gonna be here. Hey, did you see by any chance? Okay, so during the UFC fight a couple weeks ago, they showed the Sphere in Las Vegas. The Sphere has a 360.
Yeah, I know the Sphere.
Holy shit. They were showing like this video. There was as far as I could see. It was all the way wrapped around.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a cyclorama uh-huh. kind of a deal where it wrapped up the whole thing and it was just visual aids.
Wow.
It was an experience.
I really want to go there to see.
It's like an epic experience. Like none other. And I didn't get to go, but I saw it on YouTube.
Oh, okay. You never been there.
No, okay. And not inside. We were in Vegas. We saw the outside of it.
Okay, yeah.
But not the inside. Yeah. It's got to be insane. And I think it's also like, so if you're sensitive to a lot of light, it's got to be a lot.
Yeah.
But so anyway, they did that.
Actually, we've also been in Las Vegas months ago, and we want to go there, but mm-hmm. we had our son with us, and we didn't have a nanny.
No nanny.
Yeah, no nanny.
So. Well, my wife and I will take care of the baby. We love baby.
Next time.
Yeah, for sure.
But you also want to go.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's okay. We'll take one for the team and say, all right, we're going to just wait this one out, you know, like just sit it out. But yeah. There's so much I want to talk about. There's so much because there's you went to Chile. Tell me what that experience was like going to Chile.
It was amazing. I really like that country.
Chileans are awesome.
Yeah.
They're cool people.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And they all speak English. I mean, all from there's
right. Yeah, there's class systems. It's okay because there's class systems in every country. They speak the language.
That's why I couldn't stay there because I thought it's not a good place for family to raise your kids because of this difference of the class. Mm-hmm. And I saw it when the kids cannot play with another kids because they're not in the same school or not the same neighborhood, you know.
It's discriminatory almost. Yeah, right? It has a lot of that. You know, in every Latin American country is like that. By the way, most of them are.
I was surprised and what I didn't like. But the rest, this was amazing.
The food? How was the food?
The seafood.
Oh my God. Lord. Yeah. You were on a seafood diet?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was just incredible. And the weather, it's mm-hmm. like...
How's the weather? What's the weather like in Chile?
It's like here. It's like in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Santiago and next to Santiago, the beaches. Mm-hmm. Beaches. And the weather is similar. The food is just, of course, better than here.
Spectacular.
Of course, better than here, but...
Ours is better, huh? We have Mexican food. Mexican food is the best.
Yeah, what do you like?
My God, what don't I like? Enchiladas, I like tacos. Ooh. I like... Well, burritos are not Mexican. They're actually... Tex-Mex. They're like Mexican-American food.
Oh, okay.
They were not made in Mexico. They're made here. But I like sopes. I enjoy, we could go, the list goes on, menudo. I enjoy all sorts of Mexican dishes. Okay. So anybody watching here, if you guys want to, like, you know, send over some Mexican dishes here at Menudo, we'll welcome them. Menudo's good. You ever had it?
And michelada, right?
Oh, yeah, the micheladas, drink. The drink. She's always talking about alcohol. Jesus.
I know.
Wine or micheladas. No. But, the micheladas are really, really good, you know, and especially get the Modelo.
Yes.
The beer. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. They actually sell them or ready to go.
Yeah.
So we make everything great, you know. Mm, yeah, it's good stuff. But I know. Especially, you ever had menudo, though? Menudo is actually... it's a cow lining. So it's a cow stomach. You're eating and they cook it really good.
I never tried.
Soup. It's not cat soup. Like people think like, what is that?
Yeah.
I had a buddy of mine that's never had it.
The cat soup is more about China.
Hey, I'm half Chinese. What are you talking about? No. I'm kidding. No, but, what was that? Uh-oh. That's it. Zoop.
I actually we drive with my husband a Harley.
Okay, so your husband has a Harley.
So we're making this kind of noise.
Oh my God, he's a house angel. What? Just kidding. That's cool. I have a love for an affinity. I think I respect the motorcycles and the motorcyclists that go on the side. I usually get out of the way my Rolls Royce. You know, I go, all right, guys. Mm-hmm. You know, and many a times like. I pass the people. I respect people in bikes. It looks like it's a lot of fun. Here's the thing. Uh-huh. I have... here it is. Okay, truth be told, I took a class here in the Valley, how to ride motorcycles many moons ago. And then a buddy of mine had a Ninja, an old Ninja. Yeah. He's like his dad's or something. And I tried it out. I'm like, oh, dude, I was revving it up. Oh, shit. And I thought I was going to fall in. And I said, never again. So I decided to... to settle for a moped.
Oh,
I did
okay.
the mopeds. Yeah, they're like bike. Yeah. Uh-huh. I did that for a couple of days, and then that was the end. I ditched it because it looks embarrassing. Yeah, you know? I kind of want to say, moped.
We thought about that actually because we have a son, and it's like maybe it's dangerous.
Get a Vespa.
For us. Yeah,
those German ones.
Yeah. Oh, actually, my grandfather he had
a Vespa.
Yeah,
those were cool, man.
Yeah. He had it. Mm-hmm. And but we decided to don't sell the bike, but we decided to don't go on the highways. So we just driving around. And a Wally.
Yeah, the Harley? You guys are right around the...
Yes. So...
Just you guys are going around the... You drop off the... you go by, hey, let's go to McDonald's in the Harley.
No McDonald's. There are so many good places here.
There's tons of great places to eat. Yeah. Let's go grab some Starbucks, hon, in the Harley.
I like to play bowling.
Yeah, bowling. That's fun. It's all about the experience.
Yeah.
I mean, you have nailed it. It's all about the experience. I mean, there are things in life you have to live. You have to live. You have to experience.
If you
live it right, all you need to live is one time, right?
Exactly.
That's all you get.
You can be on a bike and watch your phone, you know. But you can be on a bike and just open your hands and enjoy it. You know.
Yeah, I tend to feel the exact same way when I'm. I watch people ride bikes, and it's like it's so liberating, man. Mm-hmm. And some of them will play loud music. They're playing heavy metal, rock music.
Yeah.
And one guy was watching a soap. He was watching the TV because there's like a little TV and stuff.
Oh,
inside.
No, that's dangerous.
He was watching TV and it's like, ha, 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 that was funny. And then nailed the truck. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God, that's dangerous.
No, it didn't happen. But he was watching something. Yeah. And it was just, I was curious enough to look over and I'm like, oh my God, it's getting really good.
I gotta go to the left.
I was like, hey dude, what's up, man? Hey, don't change it. Let's talk about when you do sculptures. Like, how does that look like? Where do you envision something and then what?
Actually, it's also about the idea. I never know how it's gonna finish. Like with the paintings, it's different.
Yeah.
I'm doing a sketch, and I have a sketch, small, big. I'm doing like for one painting, and sometimes I'm doing 50 sketches.
Right. Absolutely.
And I'm already choosing the colors. And all. But for the sculptor, I never know like how it's gonna end with the sculptor.
That's interesting.
I have an idea, and then I start to do, and then
that's so interesting.
Yeah.
And then it just takes a shape of its own, kind of.
Yeah, I like the process. I love to make the sculptures and installations. Which one is like also sometimes is a part of the sculptures, and it's just meditation. You know, I couldn't paint since the full invasion in Ukraine.
Yeah,
I couldn't paint the paintings, no sketches, no paintings, and I did. So this work collection with guns and flowers.
Yeah.
I did a collage. So I was cutting for 2 years.
Two years
I was doing this collection because I couldn't paint. But I did. But this was meditation. And then you put in everything together.
Yeah.
And also the sculptor, it was also like for me like meditation. So I'm just making.
Right. It's like you're massaging, like you're kneading dough.
It depends with what material you're working because, it's...
What kind of materials do you use?
All different. So sometimes I'm just using, I'm doing a base, then I'm doing a foam for the construction foam inside.
Right.
I cut in the shapes, then put in one layers of...
just multi,
like another, and you know what I started to do? I started to use the recycled clothes with a kind of material like not clay. I don't even remember. I'm sorry. And using recycled clothes inside of the material, and then I put it on a sculptor, and it's dry, and it's like a strong.
So I'm environmentally like friendly, right?
It's like why not to use it instead of to use a lot of this material, which one is like even also expensive, and I'm just gonna use a clothes, recycled clothes, and like my son's clothes, because he's growing up. He's growing up so fast. Like,
you're using his diapers. Maybe I could put that for the head. We could shape it.
Like, you know what I do? Like, I don't want to throw it away. I don't want, like, you know, we need to, we need to take care of this, the environment. We need to think about that.
Yeah. Freaking amazing! You're an artist in every which way.
And I know you're also doing like for donation clothes, right?
Yeah. Donate, to. There's a place up the street, not far from us, maybe about a mile away or two. It used to be a Hotel 818, and before that, I forget the name of the hotel, but across the street from Taft High School, and it's now a shelter, and they help out a lot of people get back on their feet there, and they need the clothes, and so that just started today. But a friend of mine works at this location, so hats off to Karen. She's one of the folks spearheading that operation. She now works there. She was also a person that was at one point unhoused, and she's doing really, really well. And so inspiring, her story. She said she needed some clothes, so we're dropping that off. And Halloween. So if you have any extra costumes, we could drop them off there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I'll give you the address. You guys can go and drop them off with you and your family.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah, and drop them off. I'll give you my address. You can drop all the costumes for us. You hear, honey? We don't have to spend money on costumes.
I told you about this. We have a group of like girls, and we decide like why to spend money of new clothes. Of course, you're also buying a new clothes, but let's just exchange instead of
What you said.
Every month we just doing this party, we're drinking wine and talking, and you know,
and listening to Mila's new song dropping.
Yes, exactly.
Mila's new song's going to be dropping in, I think, October 2nd, October 3rd. Kachenko. Mila Kachenko. Ooh, lick her up. She's got a song that's sizzling hot. It's going to be dropping pretty soon.
I was driving from a Malibu, and she sent me this song. It's like, listen. And I was driving like, ooh, so good. I enjoyed it so much.
You got lost in there. Like, where am I supposed to be? You're like in South Central. Wait a minute. San Francisco. You were right through the bridge. Wait, that doesn't look like the LA bridge that I was on. Sometimes that's also very like insane that sometimes you listen to a song and then it inspires you to create a masterpiece. Has that ever happened to you?
Let me think.
I'm like a little kid. I got something stuck here.
I don't remember exactly with the song inspired me, but I always listen to music when I'm working.
What kind of music do you listen to?
What's your favorite playlist? It's so different from like Ukrainian, old school, like a traditional music. I love Ukrainian. My sister, she's singing the folk Ukrainian.
Really?
Yeah, Ukrainian folk.
Wow! Plug her in. What's her name?
She's not doing professionally.
She's a musician.
Maria Kalivoshko.
Maria Kalivoshko.
Yes, Maria Kalivoshko. You're the
best. Hi there.
And when she sings, I always cry.
Oh my God,
yes,
really?
So beautiful.
She must have some great pipes. is there an art, is there like art that's very, intimate? Like you still haven't decided not to show people, like showcase? Is there art pieces that you do that are very intimate and so near and dear to your heart that you rather just keep it in the family? Is there such a thing?
There is a few pieces, and some what I did before is still in Ukraine, and it's going to stay there in my parents' house. And some of pieces I also have here. I did draw in the beginning. When I just got to LA, I had a kind of hard time for first month. I did and I draw like a kind of crazy feelings, you know, stuff. And that piece is still in my home.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's insane. That's pretty cool. Tatiana, I want to ask you, you've gone through different. You know, obviously, every experience you said, depending on where you're at, and you know, like, how did you, you know, like, you went to you visually conceptualize the world at times before you, you know, like before it becomes an art piece? You know, do you have an idea already, like a prototype in your head? Is there such a thing? Because, like, I write songs, right? Mm-hmm. And since I'll do freestyles, right? Mm-hmm. I just, like, suddenly I'll just, okay, a birth, a spurt of the moment kind of a song. Okay. But sometimes I already have the song in my head.
Yeah.
I already know.
Yeah.
Does that work the same way with artists, with people that do your line of work?
So the that's what I told you before. It's different collections, different feelings, mm-hmm. and different ending of the results. Okay. And like right now, what I'm working on a more like of course performance is gonna you never gonna know what is
yes.
how it's gonna end. But art installations now I see exactly
you already
the image.
See it.
Yes, it was not always before when I told you like when you're
sure.
doing sculpture it's different
yeah.
when you're doing paintings with the sketches. Even like when you're doing the painting, there is many sketches before you got to the right one. But here with the art installations, I see exactly, and I'm writing like before I go to sleep. I have another big problem because now I have like so many ideas before falling asleep. I don't know why it changed me by the age. I get older.
That's funny.
It's different. I don't know.
Yeah, you're only 25, 30.
And I'm going to sleep. I already put my notebook, like a sketchbook
yeah,
next
to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like I put already my computer next to me. So even I need something to open and to write down. So yeah, now I see exactly. I close my eyes, like Tatiana sleep. No, like a pam, 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 ideas. And I write it down.
Yeah, they pop up suddenly, yeah. huh? And you just...
Yeah, and then in the morning, it's like, okay, which one is the best?
Now, you have them in some of the, you know, in some galleries, you have your work in Ukraine mostly, but you also have work in China and, was it?
Chile? Here.
How about Spain? Do you have anything
else? No, Spain. No, I never been there. And mm-hmm. of course, I would love to have shows there, but I always like so busy to create and you know like how an artist like more creative than like working in what they have done to send it to the galleries. That's a half of the work. For artists, it's much better when you have a manager. And
right.
actually, I have a manager.
You do have a management company.
I have like a art dealer.
Yeah.
Here, and she does a lot of work. Thank
she
you,
does,
Julia.
Yeah, there you go, Julian.
Thank you, Julia.
Julia.
And
let's talk about the red mask, or what is the red face? Yeah.
Yeah, that's photography.
Yeah.
Where's two people with gas masks? Mm-hmm. I bought the gas masks in Budapest.
And Budapest.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And since like I had already my collages with the gas mask and mm-hmm. the flowers, this idea become to me like real quick, and I tried to do my first photo. I was flying to Ukraine. I got these masks, and it's connected with a red thread. And this collection called "The Red Means Love,"
right.
Which one is from Ukrainian folk song, where is the mother sewing the a shirt for a son with a red thread.
Red thread.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, in different cultures, the red thread, it's a big meaning. And mm-hmm. in many cultures, in China also, the red thread, it's a tamsin and another, in like many cultures I checked. So it's connecting people and different.
That's deep.
Yeah, different people with different nationalities, different.
Cultures,
race, yeah.
You're so multifaceted. It's insane and fascinating at the same time to hear you talk because there's
so
many layers to you. I mean, we don't have enough time. It's crazy how fast time flies. Next time you have to come with Mila for sure. Both of
right.
you guys, yeah, it'd be
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Both of you, but I like to hear all about the collective experience when you have more information or when you're able to let me in on that secret, you know, because I know for right now you sign a 100 NDAs.
It's true.
And so tell me, do you prefer LA? Do you like LA over Miami?
Oh, over Miami?
Yeah.
That's not even a question.
Was it that bad of an experience for you?
I mean, Miami is fine for vacations.
Yeah.
With your friends, not even family, I think, uh-huh. with friends. Because it's like when I moved from Shanghai, from a big city, I was like an interior designer and artist on the side. And I was working hard like until night and from morning to night. And then I came into Miami. It's like everybody's naked there. And just shake butt, shake butt. I was like, where is people working? Where is this people with
You're like,
shoes?
Well, this is art. This is an artist.
And I was like, no, you know, also Miami is good for Art Basel. Uh-huh. And I'm going almost like every year and I presented my work there.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Good for you.
And that's actually, right. It was a good experience for me when I moved to Miami. Mm-hmm. That was my first Art Basel. I was working for a gallery and I didn't see that big like art fair. Uh-huh. Art fairs. Like usually it's like a one art fair, but in Art Basel week, it's like a 15 different art fairs in the same same time.
Really?
No. Yeah. And it was like a really good experience. And since then, I'm going there almost every year.
Yearly.
Beside the COVID time.
How'd you feel with the culture there? You're saying that everybody speaks Spanish in Miami, how we were.
Yeah.
Cuban.
Yeah.
It's little Cuba.
Like, of course, not everywhere, but sometimes when you go into the gas station and there's people, even they don't speak English, I was like, okay.
Are you sure you didn't go to Cuba?
Maybe. Yeah.
And do they have, you have to drink. Somebody said that. I guess an Americano is how you order it. Because if you say you get a cafecito, they give you this little thing that it's like 10 times.
The coffee was good, actually, there.
It's really strong, potent, strong. Yeah.
But when I used to live in Shanghai, I worked for Italian company. And my boss was Italian. So we drink this like a little shots of coffee, which one's similar to the Cuban coffee.
Yeah.
And I came from Shanghai from the Italian boss to Miami. Yeah, and I was like, the coffee.
I noticed you have a kind of an accent, though. Miami, you said. Hey, Miami, like a Cuban. Hey, say hello to my little friend. My God, where does time go? Holy smokes. We have like 4 precious minutes here with my good buddy, Titiana. We love that. The fact that you've enlightened us today. I've learned so much in just so little time. It's crazy. But it's awesome. And you know the way. You know how to find us here. So we hope to have you back. But, you know, I also want to plug in your social media. So why don't we talk about your social media? How can people look you up and following you?
My first and last name is TETIANA.KALIVOSHKO.
Did you catch that, guys?
Yeah. It's long.
It's a mouthful. Jesus Christ. Wait, what is this? It's cafecito, coño. Coño, we do cafecito. Cafecito cubano.
From?
I'm from Cuba now, apparently.
How did you get here?
Bueno, que yo dejé la balsa allá afuera. Oye. I watched a lot of Scarface.
Oh, okay.
I watched a lot of Tony Montana, you know?
Okay.
And then we had, we had this great guy, Chichi, remember in the movie? We actually... he passed away recently and he was in the movie with Scarface with Al Pacino and my good friend, Laura Fuino, he played his girlfriend, this guy, Chichi, Angel passed away. He's a comedian, also stand up comedian. Oh. He was a good guy, man. And I remember that we interviewed him and boy, he had some funny stories about shooting the film
because
he shot the film with Al Pacino. But Al Pacino wasn't even Cuban. I think Laura... anyway, it's a long story.
Yeah,
he can
play wherever he wants.
So I am... I don't know. Like, I really don't want to leave. I still want to ask you more questions.
Yeah. Let's just leave it.
No. We're not going to...
And we're going to just talk about that.
Yeah, we can just talk afterwards. Yeah. That's true. But anything else we should add? So you're now going to stay in L.A., and we got you locked down here for good, right? L.A. is home for you, right, with you and your husband and your son.
You know, during this wartime, I still going to Ukraine.
Okay.
And
wow. You have family there.
Yeah. And that's so funny because every time we travel to Europe, we're going to Ukraine and to Israel. And last time when we've been there, it was October 7th.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yes. So every time people laughing like, Tatiana, can you go somewhere else where there's no war?
Oh my, no, right? Isn't that crazy? That is wild. And your stepdaughter is serving now in Israel.
Yeah.
So
yeah, she's in the army right now.
Bless her heart, man.
Yeah, she's amazing.
That's so awesome. She is amazing. You tell her I said that, okay?
I'm so proud of her. Yeah, I will tell her for sure.
Yeah.
She's her name is.
And your wonderful husband. You could say hi to your wonderful husband if you want to give him a shout out.
My wonderful husband.
Shalom.
Shalom.
All right, so I guess that's our show tonight, guys. I am super excited. I had Tatiana Kalivoshko.
Yay.
Woo!
Shake.
You're like, Vamono Chico, Vamono Miami. That's my show, guys. Stay tuned next week. Same bad channel, same bad time. Adios. Take it away.
You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.